Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Good morning. Welcome to Between the Lines with me, Sarah Evans-Alwyn. I'm recording for Sheffield Live, that's on 93.2 FM, or you can catch me on the Simple Radio app. So today I am back from my journey over the Pennines and I am in Weston Park. This is a park that's about a mile outside Sheffield city centre, and it's not very big, but it is very perfectly formed. It sits in between the university, the children's hospital, and the place that I'm going to take you to today, which is Weston Park Museum. And some of my older listeners will know this place better as the Sheffield City Museum, which was known as until the early 2000s. I think it was around 2006, this was renamed the Weston Park Museum. So it was known as the Sheffield City Museum. It was sort of the central place to come and look at the social and archaeological history of the city, as well as the art collection in the Mappin Art Gallery. And it would have a rotating gallery too, where exhibits used to come up from partnerships with London museums, places like the V&A and the British Museum used to send exhibits up here. Weston Park Museum also happens to be the place that houses one of the oldest weather centres in the country, and Sheffield weather data has been collected here from the 1800s onwards. So I can see the weather vane up there, and in the park there's a weather station as well. So it's kind of a myriad place. There's so many different aspects to this museum, and I read up a little bit about the history of the museum, and it's quite interesting. I first came here in 1995 when I was a student here, and I wasn't too enamoured of the place. It was very old-fashioned. It had those very sort of traditional glass cabinets full of stuffed animals, and being Sheffield, of course, a lot of metalwork and all the archaeological finds from the area, various bits of stoneware, a couple of mummies. Now, these exhibits still exist, but in a more contemporary or modern format, museum format. So it underwent a big refurbishment in the 2000s, and it has been sort of brought right up to date. It's a beautiful building. It was first opened in 1875, and the art collection that was housed in the Mappin Art Gallery was gifted by John Mappin. So Mappin was a famous Sheffield benefactor, and in this Victorian kind of altruistic, sort of benevolent guy sort of way, he gave his art collection to the city. And I believe it was Graves who put up some of the funding to build the Mappin Art Gallery. And it opened in 1875. And I was reading a little bit about John Mappin. And actually, he'd come from a family of cutlers. It being Sheffield and all, it was his grandfather who started the business, Jonathan Mappin. And so from the 1700s onwards, they were making silverware and cutlery. And it was really the grandchildren, the four grandsons, who took the business to another level. And John Mappin was the youngest of these grandsons. And he broke away from the Mappin Company and he set up his own place in London. And a couple of years later, his brother-in-law, George Webb, joined him. And hence we have the famous Mappin and Webb Company. And they really had very expansionist ideas. So very early on, they set up a shop in Johannesburg. In the 1930s, there was a Mappin and Webb shop opened in Japan. They really had an international view. So they started out by bringing the silverware and cutlery down to London, making a name for themselves. One of the older Mappin grandsons was knighted, so they were recognised as a silverware family very early on. And John Mappin sort of made them really big. And therefore, he had a massive art collection, which he gifted to the city where his factories were, where he really made his money. And there's all sorts of interesting facts about Sheffield as an industrial centre. So, for example, in 1900, apparently, Houdini visited the Mappin factory to buy some silverware gifts. I find this so incredible that Houdini was in Sheffield in 1900. And they, later on in the family company history, they made silverware for Winston Churchill and other dignitaries. And they've always made commemorative stuff for all kinds of different national events, such as the Festival of Britain. Anyway, Weston House, which was adjacent to the Mappin Art Gallery, was also part of the museum. And it was bombed. It suffered a direct hit in the Second World War in December 1940 in the Sheffield Blitz. And a lot of the collection was destroyed. And even though the museum was open in the 50s and 60s, it was only in 1965 that everything was sort of rebuilt. And it's not a huge museum, but it has so much in it. And I suppose of all the Sheffield museums, it's the most sort of family-friendly one. There's a lot of outreach stuff that goes on here. And I'm always really interested to see the groups of tiny children running around in the galleries. And there's some very famous exhibits that are always on permanent display because they're so beloved of Sheffield families. And once I get inside, I will show you some of these. And we'll have a nice little look, a poke around the social history and the different galleries of this museum. At the moment, this year, for the majority of this year, until the 3rd of November 2024, there is the City of Rivers exhibition occurring. And over the next couple of weekends, there's some British Sign Language tours going on in that exhibition. There's all kinds of outreach events at this museum and a lot of sort of recording of social history as well. So there's some memory cafes that are going on so that people can record their experiences in Sheffield, in and around Sheffield, for future generations, I guess. So it's an interesting spot. And the park is lovely in the summer. I mean, it's a bit of a mizzly day today. So if you're from Sheffield, you'll know what I mean about the mizzle. It's not as cold as it has been, but there's a greyness about the place. But the park is still very pleasant. And I can see a few students from the university have come up here to take photographs for the graduations. There are some postgraduate graduations happening today, and I can see the students celebrating and enjoying themselves. So it's a nice park to come to any time of the year. And then, of course, we've got the museum as a nice attraction. There's a coffee shop where you can grab a brownie and a coffee. And I am going to nip in there right now, and I will join you again when I'm in the museum itself. Hello, I'm inside the museum now, and I've just walked past the Harold Cantor Gallery, which houses the City of Rivers exhibition. And it's a very nice little display of different kinds of artwork depicting the city's rivers. Opposite it is the gift shop. It's not the best gift shop in the world, but you can pick up some stationery. And I am just walking into the permanent exhibit, which is kind of the social history of Sheffield, and it's called the Sheffield Life and Times. And perhaps you can hear the ambient noise of people exploring this nice room, and there are video displays, and there are all kinds of different sections to do with Sheffield's sporting history, its outdoor life, and also its history of protest, trades union movements, all kinds of memorabilia as well. And of course, Sheffield sits on one side of the Pennines, so there is a walking history, a history of rambling, the right to roam, the mining history. There's a really moving display of miners' strikes memorabilia, and there are all kinds of badges, mugs, commemorative leaflets as well. So this is an area which is much beloved of school trips, because it's a really good way for students to find out about Sheffield's history. And I love this section, which shows the domestic history of Sheffield, and little domestic scene of somebody's kitchen. There are photographs of the famous Park Hill flats, the streets in the sky, and it is really delightful. There's a doll's house as well, children's toys. So, kind of the sort of thing that you expect of your city museum. So, I'm going to walk through to the gallery opposite, and it's entitled Beneath Your Feet. And as you can imagine, this has got some archaeological finds from in and around the Sheffield area. So I love looking at these pots that they've sort of pieced together, they found in pieces. And I just always wonder about the people that spend all the time putting them together and sort of mocking them up so that they look like they did before. It is wonderful. There's a fragment from a stone cross, an Anglo-Saxon stone cross, and it's just exquisite. It really is beautiful. We get a sense of Sheffield's history as well with metal. There are iron spearheads here. I mean, as there were in any settlement. You know, in any archaeological dig, you'll find all of this sort of stuff. It's wonderful to look at these Anglo-Saxon artifacts, helmets and the like, jewellery. It's incredible. You know, they've dug up gold jewellery, as they do in many parts of the country, but I just think it's so wonderful to see them all collected here. Now I'm walking through to the bits that the children seem to be very drawn to. And I remember when my children were younger, we used to actually head straight here. We used to come here first. Here's the ancient Egypt part. Yes, there's the mummies. Now, these have always been here. I remember these from the 1990s. And now you can walk around the mummies. So you can, you know, they're in this Perspex case, and you can walk around the mummy and look at it in great detail. Whereas in the past, it was, you only saw it from one side, the way that it was displayed. Love a good mummy. That's so interesting. Anyway, I'm going to find out. I'm going to ask, actually, where the polar bear is. This is a historic thing.
It's just in there.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I've just found out that the polar bear is just hidden around the corner. It wasn't where I expected it to be. Oh, here he is. Okay, so the polar bear is a famous Sheffield exhibit. And there is a plaque that explains the polar bear. And here he is. He's standing there looking rather magnificent. He's standing together with an Arctic fox and some Arctic bird as well. They're all white. They look absolutely fantastic. They are fabulous. I suppose the polar bear is a little bit taller than me and a bit broader as well. And this was the exhibit that when my children were little, we would head straight to. And the blurb on the wall explains that this is Snowy the polar bear, and he has been an absolute favourite in this museum for over 100 years. But there have been two Snowys. This is not the first Snowy. So the first polar bear came to the city in 1904, and he was positioned on all fours. And he wowed the children of Sheffield for 80 years until he was almost worn out. So this polar bear that we have in front of us was a bear from Edinburgh Zoo who died of old age. And she came along to replace the original Snowy. So this is Queenie. And there's a picture of Queenie at the Edinburgh Zoo when she was still alive. But when she died of natural causes, she came to Sheffield and has been on display since. And the plaque explains that some people have felt a lot of confusion when they've come and they've remembered a bear that was on all fours and are presented with this bear who's standing upright. But actually it's because there were two bears. It's not their failing memories. But yes, Snowy the polar bear is an absolute favourite. And yes, I keep calling him he, but obviously he's a she. Very modern, really. Queenie there, she does look fabulous. It's really, I mean, it's worth coming just to look at this magnificent bear. And of course, along the way, there are all kinds of other stuffed animals, and you know, they are hard to keep sort of looking fresh. You know, it's quite a skill actually to keep them going. But yeah, this is sort of the natural history part, and there's a big mammoth here as well, sort of a kind of mock-up of a mammoth, and all sorts of other stuffed beasts. So this is a very popular area for children. Nice place to bring the little ones, especially in the winter, because it's lovely and warm in here. And there's all sorts of interesting stuff about the water cycle on the wall, reminding us, of course, that this is a weather station. So there's a real plethora of things that you can find out about, learn afresh in here. So I'm coming into the art gallery part of the museum. This section is the what was the map and art gallery. And there are some beautiful pictures on the wall, paintings on the wall. Victorian paintings, more contemporary paintings of the Sheffield city centre. Now you can see there's one that depicts the moor as it is now, with a light cinema on one side.
with cranes sort of pointing up to the sky. There's one that shows the Sheffield ski slope, famously has been on fire several times. And just also interspersed with much older sort of Victorian views of Sheffield before it was quite so built up, some really interesting views from around the place where I live, around Sharavale, which used to be much more countrified than it is now. There used to be a gap between that part of town, Aincliffe, and the city centre. And we have these pastoral views where you see the fields and then looking down into the industrial heart of the city and the factories and the smoke coming up from the factories, sort of showing the two sides of Sheffield. Of course, because it's such a hilly city, the views have always been incredible, and artists have been able to capitalise on this. So we have all sorts of interesting industrial and pastoral scenes, and mill workers as well. Very interesting and packed gallery. So I'm going to walk through, and again, here's another room which has Sheffield stories in it. And this is the more contemporary stuff. We have dresses from the 50s and 60s. Children can dress up as well. There are more lovely paintings and drawings of Sheffield, say from a tram's point of view. There's the famous Sheffield Hole in the Road, which no longer exists, which used to be near the CNA, near the Castle Markets, near Walsh's. All these are gone now. It was Primark. I think they're actually going to knock that building down and build a skyscraper there. There's the famous Park Hill Flats being depicted. And this section is all about families and home. And there are photographs on the wall of people in their homes watching television in the 1960s. We have children playing in the street. We have the Silver Jubilee, all kinds of interesting things. We have the pictures of the Crucible Theatre in the 1970s, all these famous Sheffield landmarks. And in the corner here, we've got a nice little sitting room setting with a gramophone record, a little television, and sort of mid-century chairs and table and a magazine rack. And you can sit down and have a rest. And I think this is just lovely. So, on the ceiling in the next room, we have a dinosaur skeleton. And it's hanging from this sort of Tudorish looking wooden frame in the ceiling. It's a real mix of architectural styles, obviously, in this building, which reflect its checkered history and the fact that, you know, it did suffer a direct hit in the Second World War and therefore had to be sort of refurbished. And then in the 2000s, refurbished it again, moving again with the times. So it's not the perfect museum, but it's a very nice family space. And there's a sense that, you know, children are really are very much at the forefront of the thinking around this museum, and that their engagement with the city's history is very important as well. So it's an admirable place, really. And I think it's interesting that Sheffield Museums have decided that they're going to sort of partition off their museums in this way, dedicating different spaces for different types of audience and a different kind of purpose. And I think by and large it works. And I wanted to take you around the Western Park Museum because it is a worthy place to come and look. And there are some things that will be here for decades to come, which you can revisit and your children will revisit, and they can become part of the psyche of the city in a way. And I suppose I will leave you with that and go and grab my hot cup of coffee on this cold and mizzly day, and hope that you all keep safe and warm. You've been listening to me, Sarah Evans-Alwyn, for Sheffield Live, and my programme is called Between the Lines, and it is on Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM every Tuesday at 11 a.m, and I hope to see you again next week.
My pen was full of bile. It was one of those days when everything's grey and nothing seems worthwhile. The radio played the sort of crap the music hacks acclaim. I don't know why they call them songs, they don't deserve the name. And so I vowed I'd never write another song. When something weird occurred, and out of the dusty air a ghostly shape appeared, and I heard myself exclaiming, "Mon Dieu, zut alors, immense! I know that pipe and that moustache is the ghost of Georges Brassens. I know that pipe and that moustache is the ghost of Georges Brassens." I said, "Georges, what are you doing here? I've seen your grave inset." He said, "I've come to tell you that you shouldn't give up yet. It's all very well for you, Georges. Your songs brought you fame. You sold a multitude of records and all France knew your name." He said, "Until the age of 31, I never earned a cent. I remember the very first cheque I got, I didn't know what it meant. I never wrote for money, and I never wanted fame. And if my songs had never earned us, who would have written them just the same? If my songs had never earned us, who would have written them just the same? You know, for me to be in the public, I was always an ordeal. The trappings of celebrity for me had no appeal. My needs were few. For years I lived on little more than bread and cheese. In the world of fame and fashion, I could not feel at ease. This lust for money and possessions hasn't done the world much good. For myself, I always tried to earn as little as I could. Friendship, Les Copains, that's what mattered in the end. And the thing that I'm most proud of is I never lost a friend. The thing that I'm most proud of is I never lost a friend. The thing is yours, I said, my songs have sometimes caused offence to Christians, royalist, Zionist, coppers and others too numerous to list. ALO, he shrugged, some critics called my songs debased, unpatriotic, sacrilegious and inexorable taste. They didn't like the way my songs debunked authority, the law, the church, the military, la gendarmerie. I lived my life, I wrote my songs the way I wanted to, and if les braves gens disapproved, I told them je m'en fous. And if les braves gens disapproved, I told them je m'en fous. For me, song has a value that money cannot buy. For songs have been my passion, the salvation of my life. The songs that I created were a gift that I could share, and I would not cheat the public, so I crafted them with care. I chose the best and brightest words and taught them how to dance. I tried up many tunes to find the one that would enhance the words. I laboured long and hard to polish, shape, refine every rhyme and every stanza, every bar and every line. And by the way, that tune you're singing sounds like one of mine. I died too soon with many songs unborn, and that's my own regret. Remember that, he said, and now I must return to set. Merci, I said, is always good communing with the dead. And the lyrics of this song began revolving in my head. The lyrics of this song began revolving in my head.
1212. How's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
I may be fragile and I may be frail. I may have too many thoughts about myself. I may be needy and critical, self-important and arrogant as well. But thank God there is goodness beyond the goodness you see in me. Thank God there is grace beyond the grace I seem able to give. So when I slip and when I trip, gotta get back up and dust myself off. I'm no good to anyone sitting here in this mud. Oh no.
For sowing bring reaping, That's what you shall reap. Yeah. And salvation, whom shall I fear? Jah the protector of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Yeah. Hypocrite in a bright light, parasite in a dim light, dreadlocks in moonlight, ballad at sunrise. Oh, Jaja is a shepherd, I shall not want. Do you hear? Do you see? Jaja is a shepherd, I shall not want. You send your big neck police friend, he come cool I up. But it no work. For Jaja walk right in and cool up the sea. You get a jerk. You get a jerk. You set your spot to catch a wheel. Little did you know, Jaja sharp was on your trail. He couldn't work. He couldn't work. He couldn't work.
Side. I can see it in your eyes. Maybe things have happened in your life, and maybe that's the reason why you're playing for a one-man side. It's alright when you're winning though, when you lose alone. So what will you do when the money goes? What will you when the money goes? What will you do when the money goes? What will you do when the money goes? Would you ever want to know my name if we hadn't met this way? Do you seriously think I believe you when you say you're looking out for everyone? But that can't be much fun considering you never. So now your intentions must come into question. What will you do when the money goes? 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 Darker side, I can see it in your eyes. Maybe things have happened in your life, and maybe that's the reason why you're playing for a one-man side.
Una hechicera. I'm Alfie Bull, and you're listening to Sheffield Live.